After one term on the Juneau Assembly, Ruth Danner announced on Friday that she will not be seeking re-election this fall. Danner says she came to realize over the last year that the Assembly service does not match her skill set.
I've learned a lot, and I'm happy about that, and I hope to take what I've learned and use it for helping our community grow in other ways.
Danner says she plans to stay involved in the Juneau Homeless Coalition and housing issues in general. She also says she'd be willing to serve on other municipal advisory boards or commissions, but ruled out serving on the Planning Commission. Since joining the Assembly, Danner has been involved in a pair of very public spats with other Assembly members and city staff. In April, she was very nearly censured for accusing the city's law department of lying to the Planning Commission. This month, she's been embroiled in a back-and-forth with Port Director Carl Yucatil over the use of a new boat lift at two different harbor facilities. Danner has been criticized in some circles for not clearly understanding how city government operates, but she says she won't apologize for how she's handled the controversies.
I suspect that I am always going to be Ruth Danner. When I ran for office in the first place, I said right up front, I was nobody's politician. I'm no politician. I'm just not.
Danner says she's encouraging as many people as she can to run for her seat. She says at least one potential candidate has contacted her to express interest. Meanwhile, a Juneau Police Department veteran has announced his intention to run for the Assembly. Jerry Nankervis sent out a statement over the weekend to announce his candidacy for the District 2 seat. Nankervis says he's lived in Juneau since 1987, started as a patrolman for the department, and over 24 years worked his way up to captain until he retired last year. He and his wife have two grown sons. Nankervis says he's excited at potentially re-entering public service. He considers teamwork necessary to work with the community and other Assembly members and says he plans on devoting the time to make informed decisions. The filing period for the municipal election opens August 3rd and closes 10 days later. Election day is October 2nd. Juneau police have charged three people in connection with last month's arson at Adair Kennedy Field that destroyed specialized equipment for a turf replacement project. 24-year-old Dylan West, 23-year-old Ryan Martin, and 18-year-old Ashley Johnston, all Juneau residents, face criminal mischief and trespassing charges. West and Martin are also accused of furnishing alcohol to minors. Johnston has been charged with minor consuming. Lieutenant Chris Sell says police have surveillance video of the trio at Adair Kennedy Field in the early morning hours of June 20th before setting fire to the equipment. Sell says they actually disabled the cameras, but
they record to a remote location. So what it means when someone destroys a video camera there is that we generally get a pretty up-close and personal look at them.
She says officers recognized one of the alleged criminals, which led to the other two. All three were interviewed by police before charges were forwarded to the district attorney's office. Sell declined to say if any of the suspects had confessed to the crimes. West, Martin, and Johnston are scheduled to be arraigned in Juneau District Court on Thursday. The arson delayed completion of the Turf Lane project for more than 2 weeks. Investigators are taking a closer look at the airplane crash on Beluga Lake near Homer that killed former State Representative Cheryl Hines earlier this month. Officials from the National Transportation Safety Board last week released a preliminary report on the accident. Aaron Selbig has more on the story.
Although the two-page report from the National Transportation Safety Board is only a preliminary report, it's already clear that wind gusts likely played a large part in last week's fatal accident on Beluga Lake. The plane's pilot, Joe Griffith, told NTSB investigators that his approach to Beluga Lake was normal, but the turbulence picked up as he descended. He says that just after touchdown on the lake, a gust of wind lifted the left wing, forcing the right wing to strike the water. The airplane then flipped over sharply, and the cabin began to quickly fill with water. Griffith and three other passengers were able to escape the sinking plane, but Hines was not. The passengers made repeated attempts to free Hines from her seat, according to the report, but the airplane's flaps were blocking the door. Once rescuers arrived on the scene, they were able to free her. Hines died soon after, as she was being prepared for transfer to an Anchorage hospital. Clint Johnson is an investigator for the NTSB in Anchorage.
We had the airplane shipped back to Anchorage here, and probably in the next couple of weeks they'll be convening with an engineer from Cessna, also an investigator from TCM, which is the engine manufacturer, and most likely also a survival factors investigator from our Washington, D.C. office. That will probably be taking place, like I say, within the next few weeks.
The NTSB's final report on the accident should be released in 6 to 9 months. In Homer, I'm Aaron Selbig.
A man has been mauled by a bear during a hike in the woods of an Anchorage suburb. Anchorage Police Lieutenant Dave Parker says Bob Eater's scalp and leg were clawed by the brown bear, which might have had cubs with it. The animal ran off after the attack yesterday afternoon off Mariah Drive in Eagle River. Parker says the 50-year-old man was taken to an Anchorage hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. According to Parker, Eater had been hiking alone with his dog, which was not injured. Parker says yesterday's attack occurred near the site of a non-fatal attack of a brown bear in May. A 28-year-old man has been arrested on a charge of attempted murder, accused of shooting at a Fairbanks police car. Robert D. Carlson was taken into custody after the shooting early yesterday morning in the Birchwood Homes neighborhood in Fairbanks. Police say they received a call shortly before 4:30 in the morning from a woman reporting a man punched her multiple times outside of a home on Nunavak Loop. Police say the man reportedly went back inside and grabbed a gun. According to police, Carlson fired numerous times from an upstairs window when police arrived and one bullet struck the patrol vehicle. Police say Carlson came out and was arrested. Oil prices fell more than $3 a barrel this morning. Brent crude is at $102.83 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate is at $88.06 a barrel. Gold down over $12 in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,571.40 an ounce. Silver down, currently at $26.88. Alaska has sued to block enforcement of rules intended to limit pollution from large cruise ships. The state says the rules, set to take effect August 1st, will result in higher freight rates and pricier cruises that will hurt Alaska's economy. The state wants to block enforcement in waters off of Alaska's coast. Most commodities entering Alaska are delivered through one port, and many southeast Alaska communities rely heavily on revenues from the cruise trade to survive, but some conservationists say the rules are common sense. The EPA says it's aware of Alaska's concerns and has some flexibility in amending the rules. The agency says it's working with cruise lines and one of the Alaska's largest shipping companies on alternatives that would allow them to still meet the emissions requirements. And if an oil spill hits Glacier Bay, there's a better chance of cleaning it up. The Southeast Alaska Petroleum Resource Organization has cached additional oil spill response equipment at the Gustavus Airport, not far from the mouth of the bay. Organization General Manager Dave Owen says it's funded by Princess Cruises, which sails into the bay. The cache is a 20-foot container loaded with 2,000 feet of oil boom and related equipment. Owen says Princess's donation is valued at just under $50,000. He says the container is designed to be lifted and carried in a helicopter. The new gear adds to other spill response equipment already staged in the area, and that includes a response barge with a skimmer, a work boat, oil booms, and other supplies and equipment.